They stop eating their victims after a while. Did you know that? Something else we discovered. Blood goes cold and they just kind of lose interest. Of course, then you turn.
See how that works? Undead procreation. Nature's grand plan.
Welcome to Fear Me.
Fear Me.
Hi, I'm Kim.
Stuart.
And Scott.
Welcome to another episode of the Fear Me podcast. We are back with Fear the Walking Dead, season 3.
Woo! I can say woo yes. Now. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is episode 69 of the Fear Me podcast, and I think we're all a little bit excited to be back. It's been a while.
Yeah, definitely. Back to our original show.
Back to work. And pretty soon it's going to get crazy with Preacher.
Let me ask you this. How are you?
I'm great. I'm going to Alabama next week. It's going to be awesome. Working with turtles again.
Leaving the kids with Stuart again.
Leaving the kids behind.
Amazing. Kim is doing amazing.
How
it's
are you,
all
Stuart?
Rolling up, Kim.
Stuart is questionable.
Nothing unusual there.
No. Not at all.
And Scott, how are you?
Rolling with the punches.
Oh, I'm lovely. Lovely. Just like Stuart, rolling with the punches and getting ready to get back into some Fear the Walking Dead.
All right. Well, so what are you drinking tonight?
I went back to the well to my favorite brewery, Noda, here in Charlotte. And they have a new one called Woody and Wilson's Hop Experiment.
Sounds okay. Interesting. Like an Old West?
No, I don't really know what that is about. It looks like a science experiment.
Yeah, okay. Does it taste like a science experiment?
It tastes yummy. It's making my stomach make yummy sounds.
Does it have like Pop Rocks in it or anything?
No, but it is a tasty beverage. No, it's a session ale. It's very smooth, not too strong. So I like it.
Cool.
How about you?
I am doing Gate City Brewing Company out of Atlanta. Roswell, actually, and it's Copperhead American Amber Ale. It's okay. It has a bit of molasses taste to it.
Oh.
So it's not like sickening sweet, but it's kind of...
Syrupy?
Yeah, it's syrupy. Okay.
So it's got a lot of malt in it?
Yeah. I mean, it's good, but
yeah,
I don't know if I'd want a whole lot.
They're a young brewery. They're in our town, but they haven't been opened even a year yet, have they?
Mm-mm, no.
But if you ever get into Roswell, which is north of Atlanta, it's a cool little brewery that opens up their doors every now and then. It has about
you've had
20 different brews on tap.
Yeah, you've had some of their stuff before, right?
Oh, yeah.
You liked it.
Yeah,
we never had it on here because we've never even had it in a can before.
Well, that's true. They just started selling it in the stores, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Just at the brewery.
So... Where does the name Gate City come from? Do you know?
I have no clue.
I don't know.
As far as the history of Roswell, I don't know where the Gate City thing comes from at all.
Maybe we should do some research.
Maybe so. Or maybe someone from Gate City can write us and let
us
know.
Well, you know, it has like the falcon on the front of it on their can. So, you know, the history of Atlanta with the phoenix rising from the ashes when it got burned.
Really?
That's true. No, that's where it comes from.
Okay.
That's where they got the falcons. The dirty birds.
Right.
As it were.
They're ashy.
Yeah, they're a little ashy.
They need a little bit of lotion. So what do you have?
I have one that we were trying to figure out if we even had this one on before. It's another Atlanta brewery, Orpheus Brewing, which is the Transmigration of the Soul.
But we have.
Okay, we think we may have, but it's going to be the Transmigration of My Brain here in a few minutes.
So what do you think?
It's good. It's very good. Actually,
is it a good one?
Yeah. I might not be talking much because I'm going to be drinking this beer.
You're weird.
I'm sorry you'd say something to me.
Okay, so let's get into what we came to talk about. Season 3 premiere of Fear the Walking Dead, 2-hour season premiere with 2 different episodes back to back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting. They're starting to do that more and more.
Yeah, I don't know, understand why they don't just make it a 2-hour episode.
That's what I was asking. Is it just lack of confidence in the show?
No, that they're doing this? I think it's all scheduling.
If I had to hazard a guess, I would think it has to do with the fact that they make the episodes ahead. You know, they make the episodes and then they make a decision later on whether they're going to do 2 of them at one time or if they're just going to do them separated out individually.
Well, let me ask you, has any of the other series that are on AMC gotten 2 hours for an episode besides The Walking Dead?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think so.
Was Preacher's 1.5 hours?
No.
Their final episode?
I don't remember.
But I think this is because Fear should run into the end of September. They got 16 episodes coming out this year. So I think it'll go the end of September. And The Walking Dead always comes out in October.
Well, because I tweeted out that I was like confused as to why they're stacking episodes. Because as you're saying, that was probably one of the things that was weird to me was that first episode definitely felt like the opener. And then they played another one, and it was like they could have just ended it and not played something else.
Kind of killed the momentum.
Yeah, and it was a little weird, but someone tweeted back that they think that the mid-season finale to this does the same thing. They're stacking them already,
They did it last season, too, right?
Yeah, they ended it. But that was the first time they ever did it, I think.
It is.
Maybe so.
So,
well,
I guess they thought it was successful.
But last weekend was Memorial Day, right? Was that?
Yeah.
Weekend before.
Oh, scrap that.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Last weekend was not.
Never mind.
Last weekend was Fear the Walking Dead weekend.
Or was it? Because they had Better Call Saul was moved, too. They skipped that one as well.
Oh, it was that weekend, yeah. Oh. All right, so episode 1 was entitled Eye of the Beholder. Mm-hmm. What did y'all think of the first episode?
Very good. I liked it a lot. I thought it was very intense. And overall, I thought it was awesome. I thought it was really, really good. The only problem was towards the end. But I don't want to get into too many details on.
Okay. I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't think I was going to like the season opener or even the season. But yeah, it was really good. And I was like, it felt like the old days of The Walking Dead where you're like anxious to see what's going to be happening and jumping at the slightest little noise and, you know, things like that.
It actually left me feeling like, wow, this is better than The Walking Dead.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
The opener was totally. I mean, after this, the way The Walking Dead ended out the last season, this was like very intense and very well done, I thought.
It was very fresh, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And it did remind me of the earlier seasons of The Walking Dead.
I thought it was fantastic. I mean, I think the action was continual. I thought all the characters were great. And I just thought it was an excellent episode. And I loved it in conjunction with the second episode because, you know, it gave enough action in that first episode to really get your blood boiling for the show. And then the drama was so good in the second episode that I really felt that the whole thing together, the whole two hours was really smooth and well played out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I tend to look at it more as a 2-hour thing than each individual episode, because it really did not feel like 2 separate episodes.
I would have to disagree.
There were parts that, well, obvious parts that made it feel like 2 different episodes. But I can see what you're saying. Like, I mean, the story kind of flowed, but I felt like it could have flowed better if they didn't interrupt it.
Mm-hmm. If they hadn't have broke that, you know, that curtain and given us all the credits and just actually made it a 2-hour episode, it might have been better.
Yeah.
But they kind of like took you out of it by rolling all the credits.
I will tell you this, though. If I did look at it as separate episodes, though, the opening for the second episode with Travis dying was great.
Well, let's not get into
that. And I seen that as a separate... Yeah, but I know. But I'm saying if I had seen that as a separate episode, the way it feeds into the Fear of the Walking Dead logo and music and so forth, I thought it was extremely well done.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have hated to miss that part of it. in essence. But I do agree with you. I do think that that transition, you know, did tend to break it up a little bit, but I chose to ignore that.
So I had kind of forgotten about the whole border crossing thing happening.
Really?
Yeah. Well, just about how intense it was. And well, like when they saw the helicopter in the distance before the whole fight broke out and they were looking through the binoculars and they saw the helicopter in the distance and he's like, oh, I think there's a camp over there. Totally forgotten about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ah. I take it you didn't participate in the
marathon?
Fear of the Walking Dead weekend review.
I did not. I had things going on. Mm. But
you watched the end of that last episode, though, right before the first one came on, didn't you?
Well, yeah, but that was like 5 seconds before.
There you go.
I watched like, I think like the last three episodes of last season over.
So that's why we got Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's why you have me, because I have no life.
No.
Oh, no, sorry. That's not what you meant.
That's commitment, Scott. That is commitment. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, I do need to be committed. But nonetheless, yes.
Right off the bat, I had a problem already with when they got taken back to the camp and they were processing everybody and the women folk got taken to the office. What was up with that? Was that just because they were white Americans?
Yes.
Or because they were women?
I think it was more because they were white Americans than anything. I mean, it seemed like there was definitely a culling going on of people coming from Mexico. And if they felt like you were a Mexican, they didn't really want you. But if you were a white Anglo, they wanted you.
But they didn't think Nick was American?
Yeah.
Well, Nick tends to be incredibly dirty all the time, so it's kind of hard to tell with him.
And even that Steven guy that helped out, he was American?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe so. No, I mean, I'm not saying it was a perfect thing, but he did spend a lot of time, Troy did spend a lot of time talking to Travis. I'm sorry. No, when he was questioning Travis about his heritage and so forth.
Right. Oh, right.
He wasn't talking to him like he was, you know, he referred to his, Maori background as being warrior stock.
You know, that was one of the things I was confused about is these guys were pretty up on where the Maori thing was.
Yeah,
that's true. And New Zealand, you mean?
Yeah. And honestly, show, yeah. I would have not known what that meant.
I mean,
like Maori. Okay, sure.
Right.
Like, is that a different part of Central America that I don't know about?
Well, if I wasn't such a huge fan of rugby and the New Zealand team, I never would have known about it.
Okay, yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Guys. I'm sorry, I'm not. You're right.
We're learning
I did not
a lot
about
that Scott, then. Okay.
That is just sad.
No, but I do think there was a the tenor of the show taking on such a it was a very anti-immigration feel to it. Almost, you know, the showrunner, what's his name, Erickson?
Yes.
Yes.
Dave Erickson.
Yes, him. Said that, you know, all this came out before Trump started hitting with his wall and so forth. But boy, it sure was nailing a lot of that stuff on the head.
Well, there's no way it came out before. I mean, that's what he was talking about his entire campaign.
Right.
Well, no, but the show debuted last year before the elections. Right? So.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
But, yeah.
Yeah, his statement was
what you can focus on.
They definitely
in
built
ways,
on it, though.
His statement was not. His statement was that it was not the Trump stuff was not a motivation for the show, but
which I can understand. Yeah, I mean, yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, actually, evidently, you know, it's evidently kind of a joke around Hollywood right now that Trump is out trumping everybody. Because so many of these shows are building up around different themes that are similar to this kind of thing, you know, anti-immigration or racism or whatever, and they're coming out with this stuff, and they're all like, well, damn, Trump's already hit on that stuff. So
nobody does it better.
Okay.
But anyway, it is very interesting. And but I did think it was it really took the whole show on a trail that, believe it or not, based on history and so forth, I could see very much happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, yeah, you know, that is that you look out for your own kind.
Yep.
And right. We haven't seen a whole lot of that yet on The Walking Dead or even Fear of the Walking Dead. But it's definitely reared its ugly head in this these couple episodes here.
Well, it takes on another meaning as well when you look at the biological aspects of that. Because, like, if you are raising, say, your stepson, like Madison was doing with Chris, and he's not your biological son and therefore has no traits, he does not look like you and does not share your blood, you are less likely to take care of that person as you would mm-hmm. your own blood.
Right.
And so we've already seen, like, in The Walking Dead, we've got the whole Shane and Rick debacle mm-hmm. with who fathered the baby with Judith. And then we've got right. the whole Chris thing over in Fear. And
right.
a lot of those people are dead now because right. of, you know, like,
they got
the
parts.
Fighting.
Yeah, they got parts on other shows.
No. Well, they did.
Well,
but.
Yeah, I mean, they've introduced ethnic cleansing to the show,
mm-hmm.
and which is, of course, an incredibly scary topic. And they've also, you know, they also were bringing in some of the Joseph Mengele type experiments.
Yeah,
that were
that
going
was rough.
On.
That's very true.
When they were shooting these people to see how quickly they would turn.
But they took such joy in it, too, which
yeah,
was sad.
Yeah, quote, unquote, in the name of science. Mm-hmm. They were just being sadistic and stuff. But that's the same thing that the Nazis were doing.
Yeah.
There was a lot of sadistic people just taking it to the 10th level.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got a little glimpse of that in this one.
But why wouldn't they think that the stronger people would be an asset to them? Especially the men.
Instead of trying to test them
yeah.
and see, like, how fast they would turn?
I don't think they were. I mean, I think they were killing all of them.
No, that's what I'm saying. Why wouldn't they save some of the stronger men to help out? But, I mean, we find out later that Troy wasn't even supposed to be at this base doing what he
right.
was doing.
Oh,
but
of course
still,
not. No, yeah, I don't. They weren't trying to. They weren't saving anyone. I think that's the point.
He's just sadistic.
Yeah, which is why that at the up. Yeah towards the end or the later part of that episode, the guy was like, "Let's just do two at once."
Right.
Right.
Because we're killing them all. We gotta get out of here.
Right.
And why were they leaving in such a hurry?
Because they were supposed to go back. You know, they were supposed to be getting fuel and supplies and then heading back to the ranch.
Mm.
And evidently they were hanging out around there. And it also may have had something to do with the fact that maybe Jake was coming back.
That was my big question, too. Like, all of a sudden, he just appears out of nowhere.
Yeah, Troy's brother Jake, who is the good side to the bad side mm-hmm. of Troy. Yeah, that may very well been what it was. They just need to get out of there before Jake came back and saw what they were doing.
Right.
Because as far as, you know, they all know and so forth, Troy was just in there to get the fuel, like his father said.
Right, right.
Not very convincingly, but that's what he said. So, yeah, I think that was their hustle. But just the fact that, Troy reminded me a lot of the guy from Terminus.
Oh, yeah, totally. The whole, actually,
Andrew,
that whole...
Andrew, I think his name is.
Was
it
yeah,
Andrew?
That whole environment remind you of Terminus, really.
But
it's
that
just
guy,
the
very charming guy that ran Terminus, though.
Yeah.
Right.
Was very, very much like Troy in this.
I could totally see that. Charming,
yeah.
charismatic, but uh-huh. also in control and sadistic.
And you're on the killing floor.
Yeah.
You're getting ready to die. It doesn't really
yep.
matter why. You're just going to die. Terminus,
right.
they had at least a reason. They were hungry.
Well, these guys,
these guys
were justifying it by saying they were doing experiments.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Justifying.
Which yeah. in right. a way, this sounds sick, but I can kind of see what they were doing. Like, I mean, not killing people,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, testing to see how long it takes for them to turn. Don't give me that look.
I'm giving
people.
You that look, Kimmy.
All right. Put it down, Kim.
But I...
Don't shoot Stuart.
I liked the way that Troy was like writing in his notebook the entire time. And he's like, I'm just making observations, making notes. And I'm kind of a naturalist at sorts. And we know later on that he had the run of the ranch when he was younger. Yep. And so who knows what he did on that ranch.
It may be interesting later on to find out what else he's got in that book.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That would be a hell of a read.
But from a biologist's point of view, I thought that was very interesting.
I thought that the guy who was playing the executioner guy, Noel Fisher, who's, I don't know if you guys watch Shameless.
No.
But, but he's been on that show. You know what I'm talking about, the little guy?
Yeah, Willie.
Yes. He was doing a great job in that. He was a sadistic little shit.
Especially his little speech when he's walking Travis to the pit.
Yeah.
And he's talking about, like, you know, the kind of the science behind the walkers and how that's how they reproduce is by killing other people and creating more walkers.
Right. That was a good character.
The best Willie scene was when he got pulled through the freaking wall.
Oh, yeah. That was good. Yes. When he got folded in half. It was like a Freddy scene.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. And you knew it was going to happen.
Alien.
Yeah, well, you did not think it was or from Alien, but you didn't think it was going to happen that bad. That was
They've evidently in that place. They've got some really strong walkers because I don't think I've ever seen walkers that strong before.
Well, they're probably still some fresh.
Extremely strong drywall.
That's true.
Because the drywall held up even though you're splitting them in half. Could have been 2x4s in there to reinforce. Could be
there might have been
some blocking in the wall. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But that guy got split in half.
That was awesome. And it reminded me, I just finished reading The Walking Dead Descent by Jay Bonazinga.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't say too much, but there's tunnels in this, and it kind of reminded me of some stuff that happened in the tunnels in that book. It was really good.
I gotta say, though, first of all, why the hell would you pull the vent off there?
Right.
And
stupid.
Then all the rats start pouring out. Then you stick your hand in there again, your face in there again.
I mean, I was going to say the same thing.
Like, what are you doing, dude? Like, how many clues do you need to get the fuck away from that wall?
He's obviously never seen a horror movie.
Yeah.
For a guy studying walkers.
He's not scared by sounds in the walls.
God.
You know, it was a very odd, but it was a pretty cool scene.
That was my favorite scene of the whole 2-hour episode. It was awesome. Oh, and so what did you think about the Pit of Walkers?
Well, I think we've seen that before.
Yeah.
We have with the governor. This one was crazy, though, because they had them divided into three different sections.
Mm-hmm.
And Willie was allowed to, let's see, what did he? He pulled like a pin or something when Travis was done killing the first group and opened up the door. First of all, Travis, wow. Kudos to him.
Yeah, badass.
He killed all those walkers by himself with just a... What was it? Masonry brick?
No, it was cinder block.
Cinder block.
Okay. The best part was when he threw the cinder block at Willie when the guy was talking shit to him.
That was great. But I will say this: I thought Travis's character was fantastic in this episode.
He was good.
When they first took him and Nick and Lucia into or Luciana whatever into. Dragged him into the bathroom where they're executing people. And they drag that one guy up there and shoot him. And everybody jumps and screams like that. But Travis just sits there very calmly watching them.
I noticed that too.
Now, this entire episode, you were pulling for Travis.
Yep.
To save everyone. And
it was one of the first episodes he didn't get on my nerves.
Same.
I agree. That's where when he died in the second episode, it was like, I finally liked this guy.
Exactly.
Which is probably maybe was intentional. I don't know.
It had to happen, Stu.
Well, no, okay, but the first two seasons you're like, okay, kill Travis off. God. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mean, he does not understand what world he's in. And that was our big qualm was that he's constantly not getting it, like, you know, the normal human nature reality is gone. You need to start fighting, you know, for your own. And here he's just, and then at the very end of last season, he totally went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And here he was fighting for a reason, and he fought to get them all out of there. And then it was just like, damn, took him away from us. They took the good character away.
I think they kind of had to because if it finally happened, we've been teased with Nick, we've been teased with Travis, we've been teased with other characters, but we finally have Madison stepping up to take over the group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this was her Rick episode. And the show needed it. The show needs someone to take charge.
Yep.
And Madison did a fantastic job in this episode of doing that. And she couldn't do it if she still had Travis around all the time.
Well, I mean, she did it before Travis even died, though. Like,
yeah, but not to the extent of this. I mean, she always was kind of wishy-washy. This no, time she really took charge.
Just this episode, though, the first episode, right, when she, you know, puts the spoon in Troy's eye, like, she's taking right control. She right knows what she needs to do, and she's going to do it.
Which was a great right scene, by the way. When she puts the spoon in his eye,
oh,
that
God
was great.
Mm-hmm.
Kim was like, that was oh vomit my God, worthy. What is she doing?
And then she manages to walk around, like, leaves the office, goes outside, does all this stuff with the spoon still in the dude's eye.
Yeah, well, that was, like, starting to get a little reachy. But, I mean, still, like...
But managed to not pop that eyeball out, nor is he screaming bloody murder, because I would be, like, puking and pooping all over myself.
I even had a problem later on when the guy's got that huge bloody eye patch on, and he's just yes talking to people yeah and yeah chatting and stuff. I'm like,
it's fine.
Dude, you'd be screaming in pain.
It's just a flesh wound.
It must be some massive painkillers in Troy at that moment.
Yes, yes. But my point is, she
what
stepped
is
up,
your point?
She stepped up to the plate when she needed to. And right, I think this episode, more than the past two seasons, you really see, like, she is going to do what she's got to do. She's taking control. And yeah, before, she always seemed a bit wishy-washy. Like, her emotions were getting, you know, emotions I say with a grain of salt. Her emotions were getting the best of her. But this time she's like, fuck you, assholes. Like, this is what I'm mm-hmm going to do.
Right. Yeah. And I'm glad to see it. I'm
me
glad
too
to see it. This show needs that character. I mean, you know, it's funny. I know some people probably wrote in and said that, they just replaced Rick, you know, when she made that statement about how they're going to make it their home, even if they have to take it over. But you know what? It was a direct steal from Rick. I mean, there's no doubt. But it did not feel out of place. For me, it felt like it was a natural progression that had to happen.
When she says she's going to take over the ranch?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought no that was crazy.
Well, she was saying if they have to, they'll take it over.
Yeah. But why? Why would they
well
have
it's the
to
same thing that Rick said when they talked about Alexandria.
Well, it's the same thing Rick says about everything that he does.
I know that. But they did. They took over Alexandria.
I know, but my point is, they're just getting there. Why does she automatically think they need to take over?
Well, it was a little bit later before she decided that.
It was a little weird.
I mean, it was after she had her little breakdown. We're getting into the next episode, but still.
I
don't know.
If we're talking about, like, uncomfortable situations from the first episode, originally I said everything was great until towards the very end.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody yeah find it weird that it was such an easy transition
yes
from, like, an intense fight to, like, everybody hugging?
Yeah, they're all buddy-buddy, and Troy's riding in the truck with Madison now, and everything's fine.
And they're pulling Travis out of the pit, and they're like, oh, yeah everything's okay. But
here's
they're still surrounded by all these guys with guns.
Yeah.
Like,
no, you know, that part didn't bother me as much.
It didn't,
you know what bothered me?
It was weird to me, because they were just like, they had, like, all the soldiers had their hands on everybody, and they're like, oh, you know what, we're there, cool. We'll
and
release them now.
Jake came.
I don't know how much a lot of those soldiers, you remember, don't forget, what's his name?
Willie?
Yeah. He said that, you know, most of the people up there, they don't know about what's going on down here.
Right, okay? But some of the guys at the pit were the guys in the
no
bottom.
I get that. But I guess my point is that not everybody was a bad guy like Willie and the boys and Troy. And, you know, they were kind of, you know, following, you know, whatever was going on, but once Jake appeared, it was a whole different situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. And, but what I'm saying is, it's just weird that they were in such captivity.
Mm-hmm.
There's no escape. And then, like, Oh, and then it, like that, what Jake gets there?
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh yeah, it was just Troy. It was all Troy.
Right.
You know, it's like, I think it was just a
small group of guys, actually. I mean, I just think it was a small group of guys that were actually doing it. And most of those guys ended up getting killed anyway.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. It was weird.
What I found weird was when they finally get back to the ranch with Troy and Jake and all that, that, you know, Troy's trying to kill Luciana, that the father and Jake are just standing there watching that?
I agree with that, too. That was odd.
That made no sense to me.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden the father's like, oh, well, if she's breathing, we'll let her in, of course.
Especially after...
But no one stood up to say anything before that.
Troy is just a nutcase. They know Troy's a nutcase, and they're just standing there watching him like he's performing a, you know, a duty that's supposed to be done for that camp.
They say, oh, well, Nick, oh, yeah, of course, Nick, we're going to protect her.
But especially after Jake and Alicia walked all that way with that poor girl, mm-hmm. and he's not even going to fight for her to stay alive.
Right.
Jake.
Yeah, Jake. Yeah, his character all of a sudden had the wimpies. And
Screw Jake.
Make a whole lot of sense. Didn't make sense. Especially since before that he was incredibly tough.
Right.
So, yeah. I don't know. I didn't quite get that part of it.
I mean, we're already pouring into the second episode here. Did you have other things to say about the first one?
No, I thought the Walker Swarm was pretty cool, though. When they opened that door down in the tunnels and all of a sudden there were walkers everywhere. Yes,
that was good.
And mm-hmm. I'm like, where'd all those walkers come from?
Yep.
Again, very similar to the Descent book that I just finished.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all need mm-hmm. to read the Walking Dead books by Jay Bonazinga. Very good.
Yes, they are good. They are good.
That was it. That was pretty cool.
But it was like the whole episode was like this fluctuation of they're together, they're not together, they're together, they're not together, and then at the end they're split up again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And you're like, a little frustrated. I was a little frustrated. Mm-hmm. Especially since Nick gets in the truck with that guy.
Right. Yeah.
With Troy.
With Troy, who's like sadistic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So should we just jump right into the next episode? Yes, the New Frontier. Episode 2. I cannot believe that they just opened it up with Travis dying.
Killing Travis.
I thought it was brilliant.
I did too. I was not expecting it. I was a little sad. I wasn't like boo-hooing or anything, but I was shocked. And the whole time I was thinking, is this real? Like I had to ask mm-hmm. Stuart, are they dreaming? Like...
Mm-hmm. Well, even at the end, I mean, even it went into the Talking Dead at the end.
Yeah,
we're like, is he still alive? Is he still going to come back at some point? And
he's gone, man.
He's gone. But you know what? I think it was a stupid move of the showrunner to even say that he is gone. Like, he didn't need to even say it. Just leave it. He's gone. He's toast.
Well,
Let me ask you this. They did it in
memoriam, though. So he had to say yes.
He didn't have to say shit. That guy sucks.
He does suck, but he's going to be gone after next year.
I do have one question, though, okay? They're in the helicopter. They start taking fire. Travis gets hit in the neck. When Alicia goes to help him, she sees he's wounded also.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was that another bullet, or was that a bite?
Well, from what Dave Erickson and the panel people said on The Talking Dead... The bullet came up through the bottom of the helicopter and went through his body and then up out his neck. But I've seen on other forums where people were like, oh, it was a bite wound. But I don't think it was a bite wound.
No, not at all.
It was a pretty big wound.
It was huge. That's why I'm asking. It was a bullet.
Yeah. So if it was something where the bullet was ricocheting internally,
mm-hmm.
It would not show up.
Outside.
Externally. But that's what he was saying. He was saying that, was he saying it from Full Metal Jacket or one of
I think so.
Vietnam movies where they all sat on their hats because they said they don't want their balls blown off.
Right.
That's what he was saying was that, the bullet came up, ricocheted inside him, and then went out his neck.
Okay.
But I thought that he got... like winged by one in his neck and he got shot in the stomach
because there wasn't that much blood coming from his neck yet. It took a while.
Right. I mean, my first impression was that he got shot in the stomach. But when I went back and watched it the second time, I was like, man, that's a huge wound.
It was huge. Yeah. It was huge.
It looked
huge.
Like that. At that point, it looked more like a bite. And the other
or he
thing,
had though, some that, party sausage that he was bringing
yeah,
with him.
Exactly. Well, the other thing I couldn't quite figure out is, you know, if it were a bite and Alicia had seen that, I could see why she would give up on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if he were shot, why did she give up on him?
Well,
his guts were hanging out.
Yeah.
So, kinda. But he already gave up. I mean, it was like,
right.
When you're bleeding from your neck, like he was bleeding, there's not much you can do, especially in a situation.
I didn't think
he
was bleeding that much from his neck.
Well, he was. Once he started to fall, you could see the blood gushing out of his neck, out of his aorta. Mm. I mean, it was.
Yeah. It didn't seem that bad when he was. Okay. I don't know. I was not focused on his neck at that point because I was like, oh, my God, his whole stomach's torn out. And then he leaned back and he looked like dead at that point.
Yeah, his face was pale.
Yeah. But, you know, that could have been acting. I'm not sure.
Could that have been makeup?
Yeah.
Anyways, I think she knew, like, this is it. There's nothing I can do. And he's already given up. He's already taken his seatbelt off. He's opened the door. Yeah. He's, like, leaning backwards to get out of the helicopter.
To Scott's point, that's where it was surprising, where she wasn't like, no, like, grab it onto him or something, because it was like, he just gave up.
Yeah, and she just let go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, that was very surprising, very shocking. I was sad at that point.
I mean, even when he fell out, I was still thinking, could he possibly be down there still? And, like... They find him?
There's no way.
No, those were treetops you were seeing way down there.
I know.
There's no way.
Not until it was confirmed on The Talking Dead did I understand, but still.
I did.
I was not expecting him to be dead at the very first of the episode.
Okay. Oh, so we get past Travis dying. Like, the helicopter goes down. They're hiking. And they camp out. Like, aren't the guys, like, there that just shot him down?
Yeah, that's, you know, I'm assuming, you know, they kind of express that they know who shot at him, right?
Right. Well, I mean, it's kind of the same thing when they get all the way back to the ranch.
I'm assuming that's those Indians you see in the next preview that shot at him.
Okay. Now, that's spoilery.
Like, natives?
No, they showed it right after the show.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Native people?
Yes,
Indian?
Native Americans.
I don't
yes.
watch right after the show, Scott, because
oh,
that's spoilery. Well, you've known that for years. Don't.
Well, there's an Indian standing
like
there in the previews for the next episode, and he says, "You need to get off the ranch." I mean, what the hell do you expect?
What were they supposed to do with Luciana, though? Like, she's dying in their arms. They can't walk through the night.
She's dying in the
lighting
arms.
The fire was a stupid idea.
Well, yeah, okay, that's okay. Maybe that's better to the point.
Yeah,
yeah, you know, make a place to sleep or something, but you don't have to light a fire and hang out and tell ghost stories.
You know, I the killing of Jeremiah's goddaughter was.
It was stupid.
It was very stupid. I mean,
because she had just done
whistling
her whistle.
A warning. She's whistling a warning.
Yes.
And then she gets mauled by walkers and you don't hear anything.
Well, you hear the whistle again. Yeah.
This girl, they're screaming bloody murder.
Yeah.
Agreed. I know.
She's like, as she's getting eaten.
Yeah. She's whistling as she's getting eaten.
Because she was actually in the pit with those. Because obviously, well, not obviously. I would assume that the pit that he fell into had trapped those walkers into there, at least,
right.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Right, it was a little ravine, right.
Yeah, and so that's how
it's
she
possible,
got trapped there, too.
It's possible she fell in and hit her head on the log that she was laying against.
And when she hit, she was
out.
Like...
Yeah.
She whistled
was just the,
as she fell.
It was just
or
the
actually,
air
that was,
escaping from her.
Yeah, exactly. She wasn't whistling. That was the whistle of the wind
yes.
as she fell down into
She's
the hole.
She's kind of like a whistle whoopee cushion.
Yes, exactly. But anyway, that was a shame that she got killed.
Yes.
And then Alicia came and saved Jake from the same fate.
Yeah. Strong Alicia.
So what do you think of the what do you think of Jake?
I mean, Jake seems up and up.
I don't trust that guy.
But I feel like he's hiding a lot about Troy, mm-hmm. obviously, which I'm sure we'll find out about because his dad's right. definitely hiding something.
Sure.
but he seems like he's like the son who had to be better than, you know, like growing right. up, he was the one that his parents relied on, like, oh my God, thank you for being normal.
Right. I mean, you know, he admits that Troy has been a problem since he was a kid.
Right.
Right. That there's just something really wrong with that guy.
Well, they kept him on the ranch.
Mm-hmm. And gave him the lay of the land.
And gave him the lay of land or kept him secluded from other people.
Well, that's what they said, too. Yeah. They kept him secluded.
Yeah. Not secluded enough.
And that he started doing this stuff when he was a kid.
Right.
Which he's probably writing down in that book. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you.
Probably killing animals.
Mm-hmm.
He's documenting the progression of a psychopath.
Right. Right.
For that great American novel he's going to put out.
But I'm pretty sure that somehow, some way, Alicia's going to fall in love and then get her heart broken by this Jake guy, or he's going to end up dying at the hands of Troy or something like that.
He's she's going to find out that he's probably just the same. So there's parts of him that are very similar. Well,
there's that, but I definitely think he's a dead man walking.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, what do you think of the whole Otto family?
Dad's a bit freaky.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. I have to admit, I think I even said it before I even watched the episodes, that I hope they're not going to get bogged down on a ranch all season like they did down in the Catalina.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, and that's where I was a little disappointed in when she said, well, we're going to take it over if they don't see our way. And it's like, move on.
Yeah.
If those people aren't, there's a lot of people there. Like, please don't waste our time and or your time. Trying to take that place over.
But you can see her point of view. I mean, it's a self-sustaining community since they are survivalists. They've got the solar, they've got the food and, you know, all that stuff. So they have everything they need right there. Why should they move on?
You know, and it still comes down to one fundamental question we've had with the whole show right from the beginning. Are they not curious what has happened outside?
Right.
Their little world? I mean...
Well, they've asked that in the past.
They've asked it in a limited basis. They asked a forest ranger on an island.
Right. But what are you going to do? You've got no radio. You have no way to communicate with anybody.
Don't you remember us talking about? They didn't even try to find a radio.
On the island, he had a radio. A ham radio.
I understand that. That was... And how late into the series was that when he found that?
I don't know.
But yes, exactly.
They had the military with them at the beginning of the season, that first season.
Yes.
So they're getting all their information from the military.
They didn't have any.
Which they could do now, too. They have military people with them. Why can't they find out information?
Actually, I don't think those guys are military.
You think they're like militia?
Yeah, they're militia. They had taken the supplies and so forth from the base there.
Mm-hmm. I think they're part of the Otto family ranch. What was it called? Brokeback Mountain?
No.
Brokejaw.
Brokejaw. Brokejaw Ranch.
Yes, Brokejaw.
Which is interesting, too. That says a lot. Brokejaw. Like Troy named it.
It's not a very positive name.
It's not.
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends on whose jaw it is.
Yeah, but most ranches, you want to be tough. It's a ranch.
Uh-huh. It's a ranch.
Yeah. You don't call it like...
Lavender Fields.
Yeah, unicorns.
Kim, it's a ranch. Okay.
Sparkle Dust.
Ranch. Lavender Fields. Actually, I kind of like that one. It's very happy ranch.
It is. I'd be happy if I had all that stuff. But when Madison had her little breakdown moment at the tree.
Yes.
And she's puking all over the place and is supposed to be crying. How annoyed were you?
How annoyed? Can we go back before that? Because I think what led to that was when Nick and them got to the ranch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Alicia told her that Travis didn't make it.
Yeah, Travis was dead. Mm-hmm. And that was when Nick, like, pulled the gun on Troy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was... I guess we sort of talked about that. But Madison's episode after that was really weird to me. Because she started kind of crying and stuff until Nick went into his standoff thing.
Right.
And then right after the standoff thing happened again, she was like... Right back, not back into it, but she was like, I don't want to talk about it. And I was like, I kind of would have thought that would not pass, but her mind would have been completely off of that situation with Travis.
During the standoff?
No, right after.
Oh.
You know, she was like, oh, just leave me alone. And then she, like, goes off to the tree thing.
Right.
The woman is the most unemotional person I've ever seen.
But yeah, she wiped
the,
wiped the tear from behind her nose, so you didn't see it.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because she couldn't produce one. I mean, she... the one at the tree I didn't think was as bad as you think it was, Kim. But it was very hard to take for her.
She still annoys me.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
She's a strong person. I'm excited to see where her character goes. But as an actress, she really annoys me.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, I was a little more... I guess that's why I brought up the gate part, because I was a little more annoyed when she was there than when mm-hmm. she went to the tree. Because when she was at the tree, it kind of...
was more emotional.
Yeah, and it gave a reasoning to why she wasn't showing emotion when she was at the gate.
Yeah.
Because she had to be tough around everybody mm-hmm. else. And then when she went to the tree... that was where she got to break down,
mm-hmm.
which you never really saw her have a place to go break down.
But she didn't even break down.
Well, she did kind of.
She did. But that asshole came out with like the sign-out list.
I thought that was fantastic.
Like, fuck you, man.
I thought that was great. I thought that was great. I mean, it was, are you here to console me? Well, no, I actually needed to ask you a question.
Yeah, right.
Did you steal again?
Did you borrow that copy of Grapes of Wrath?
I thought actually that was pretty funny. You want to sign out that gun that you stole?
Yeah, because it was acknowledging, we know you have it, but you can have it.
Right.
I mean, it's no biggie. But at the same time, it was like, we're watching. That's mm-hmm. where I was like, mm-hmm. oh, come on, man. This is not the right time to kind of bring that out, that, okay, yeah, we're watching your every move.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it was, you know, that was the practical Texas rancher attitude right there.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not comforting people.
But you can get the feeling that these people are beyond practical. Like, I mean, they have...
Well, over-practical.
Yes. I mean, there's an agenda underneath this whole thing. There has to be, so...
Right, but I guess my point is more the fact that they don't have room for the emotional side of things.
Right.
They don't suffer the emotional side easily. So,
mm-hmm.
I think that was kind of what he did. And in some ways, maybe it was the best thing she needed.
Yeah.
You know.
Bring her back to reality.
Just, you know, here. You stole one of my guns. Would you sign it for it at least? And then he said something, you know, something really nice about her afterwards. So
mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like he was being a total dick.
No, it was a kinder intro than Rick probably would have given anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For sure.
Have you killed anybody?
Yeah.
Have you killed any zombies? Yes. Yes. Rick's routine is a little bit different.
How many people have you killed?
That's right. Carl killed 5. Carl! So let me ask you this. We've got the whole situation with Strand in the hotel.
Yes.
And, you know, because Strand decided to stay behind when everybody left, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because I guess, you know, part of it is because he was still injured, I'm sure. And he's still there with Elena and, who was the little dickwad was with her? Oh, Hector.
Oh, yeah, the ponytail guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they've got all the people, you know, banging down the walls trying to get in there, and he pretends to be a doctor. I thought that was a pretty interesting move on Strand's part.
I thought it was very good of Strand to do that. That's something that needed to be done probably last season. When
in what way? What do you mean that needed to be done? Like, well, to give him a little bit more...
No. Like, because Elena was being such a jerk to all those people that were outside the fence, and you could tell they were going to be taking that fence down if she didn't allow them to come in.
You had to relieve the pressure. You had to relieve the pressure.
And she has all these resources inside the building. Yes,
but he was playing a dangerous game with that, though.
Right, you are putting yourself at risk, for sure, but what they want is help.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't mean they're going to necessarily take over. It doesn't mean they're going to hurt anyone. But if you were in that same situation and nobody let you in and you needed a doctor, like, what uh-huh. would you do?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. It's more dangerous to, like, have them sitting there right on the fence the entire time.
Right, and they're attracting walkers
yeah.
and other people right. who are passerbys. So I think he let the pressure valve off.
Mm-hmm. That's true. But he did put himself in a very dangerous position because he's no doctor. And
he saw the pregnant lady at the fence. So it's not wasn't aware that that mm-hmm. was a possibility.
He's like, oh, no, I don't do those.
That's right. I'm not a baby doctor.
I mean, my question was, like, babies, maybe that could be a little bit easier because you know what the outcome is going to be. But, like, how do you treat, like, a broken leg or internal bleeding? You have no idea what you're doing.
No.
You can't get away with that.
No, and that's why
he was a little more confident because he sewed himself up. That's why he's like, I took care of this.
Yeah, that was little incident.
But I can sew it. Well, yeah, it's kind of a hard angle.
I don't think he sewed himself up.
Did he not?
No, or I maybe thought the doctor guy, the medical student guy, sewed him up.
Oh, mm-hmm. maybe. Or at least he took care of himself.
He took care of it because he said that he learned a lot from that situation.
Didn't that medical student get stabbed in the head?
Something like that happened.
Yeah, okay. No. He had his head smashed by the door, but that was his brother. No, medical student got stabbed in the chest by Alicia, you remember?
That's right.
Yeah.
There's some stabbings.
He was going to kill Strand.
There were a lot of stabbings.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, what I thought was a dick move was when they were like, oh, you can't leave until you take care of this one last patient. Like, what is that going to do?
I thought the dick move, period, was kicking him out. Okay, first of all, he saved their lives by getting people off the fence. And then... You know, and then he delivers the child, and mm-hmm. they turn around and kick him out. And not only do they kick him out, they tell him they don't even have a vehicle he could use.
I know. Elena's a bitch.
Right. And then, like you said, they send her up to deal with the patient who won't eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, why do you care if they don't eat? They're behind closed doors. They can't get out. They can't get to anybody. So what?
Well, Hector said that, they didn't want her turning in there.
Right.
So.
I think they were at a point where they thought that she may have turned, and she looked like she was almost about to turn. She had
that was a great makeup job.
Yes, it was. Yeah, she was messed
like a heroin
up looking.
Addict. Do you think they sent her in there because they thought she had turned and they were trying to kill Strand?
No. Remember, she was on house arrest.
No, I know that. But they were saying that, like, you need to take care of this.
To kill Strand? I don't think so.
I think there was a question. So. I think there was a little bit of a question. There was definitely a question for the viewer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
As to what state this woman was in when he went in there.
Right.
For sure.
No, I think they sent him in just because they didn't want to deal with it.
And I think the question was there until she put that knife down. And right. Like, after he opened mm-hmm. the door and then she puts the knife down.
Yep.
And then Kim was like, oh, she's going to jump.
Oh, I knew she was going to jump as soon as Strand got the door open.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When he fought so hard to get that door open, you know, because he was struggling with it, that made me realize that she never was able to get the door open.
Right. And her face was super excited mm-hmm. once he did get it open. And she's like, oh, you saved me.
I think his face was super excited when he got that door open.
Yeah, he was like, oh, the smell.
Yeah, really.
But yeah, that was a pretty shocking moment.
But how lucky is he that he got keys to a brand new car?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was actually a really cute scene when he's like, my color and my style.
That's right.
The racing green Jag.
Uh-huh. How do you think Strand is gonna hook up with these people again? Madison and her
I don't know. I think that's the thing that's surprising is like, yeah, you know, that they focus so much on him here because uh-huh. I mean, I kind of almost counted him out of everything.
I think his story is going to interact with another character probably.
Yeah.
You know, like, who was the old guy that supposedly died in the fire?
Oh, you think so?
Who knows? You know, maybe.
God, what is his name?
Daniel,
yes.
Yeah, maybe he's hooking up with Daniel to help Daniel get back to wherever his dead wife was.
You need
maybe
to be
Tobias.
You need to be careful about hooking up when you talk about Strand. What's Daniel?
This is true. This is true.
But,
yeah, you know...
Tobias.
Kirkman said that he still won't rule out that Tobias might come back.
Tobias ain't coming back. That would be absolutely insane.
He said it could
happen.
The Arrested Development Tobias?
Yes. He blew himself.
That's what I was going to say.
In jean shorts.
Well, no, that's totally out of context.
Well, if they're focusing so much on him, obviously he has to meet up with them again, which in a way is completely ridiculous.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. You can only assume that he's going to drive towards the border, and maybe at the border crossing they get him just like they did everybody else.
Yeah.
Maybe so.
That's the easiest.
Yeah, and speaking of which, I mean, Ophelia's still there and they haven't found her yet.
Well, Ophelia was captured by Jeremiah last season.
Right.
We now know.
So she'll be running in. They'll be running into her pretty soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, she's probably at the ranch.
Yep.
Oh, what was the other woman that you said was showed up again in the preview?
Michelle
Aang. Oh, Michelle Aang.
Where was she?
Who knows? I don't know.
Oh, come on, Scott.
I just saw her in that one preview. I have no idea.
There was sand. Was there a cactus?
No, there she was fighting off zombies.
I have not seen her in any of the credits yet.
I know.
For the future episodes, so.
Right. Yep. So who knows? But they've only got the first three episodes from this season up there to show you.
I'm gonna keep bringing it up.
4 and 5 are out too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Who knows?
Maybe at the end of the season.
She's gonna be on that boat again.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? That boat was great. Let's get back on the boat.
Yeah. That was a nice boat.
That boat was sweet. Are you kidding me? Compared to where they are now?
Mexican government. Stuart,
I never kid you. You know that.
Okay, that's true.
Well, should we take a little bit of a break and then come back with our hit and miss?
Yes. I think break is good. We will be right back in a moment. See you then. Hey, everybody, we're back. Kim, I bet you want to do some hit and miss, don't you? That's your favorite thing, isn't it?
I love it. My hit is something we've already talked about, and that was Willie's, how do I even say this? When he went through the hole in the wall.
Willie's.
Willie's hole in the wall.
Good Lord. What were those guys doing there? Gets lonely in the apocalypse.
I just loved the special effects on that, and it reminded me of, like, old school 1980s horror movie type of situation, and I just thought it was the coolest.
I thought the sound was one of the worst things when he snapped.
Yeah.
I was like, ugh.
Well, the best is, like, when the rats jump out first. Well, first is just him being stupid, and it was like, don't go there. It was like a classic horror scene, like, don't open that stupid hole. And then you have the rats jump out at him, and you're like, fuck! And, like, in your mind, you're like, please let that be all. And you know it's not.
All I kept thinking, this guy's going to need a new series. This guy's going to need a new series.
But then when they pull him through by his waist, which I still don't understand how that all happened, and he bends him backwards in half. Wow, that was good.
Well, that's the time when you're pulling for the bad guy. You're like, get out of there, dude. The chopper's upstairs. Like, go. And like, he's been torturing people the entire time. It's like, you know, it's just, I'm glad.
Yeah, that does suspend it a little bit.
Yeah, I'm glad they got him.
Stu, what was your hit?
Oh, man. My hit is that they killed off Travis.
Really?
Yeah. It was emotionally sucked. It was shocking. But it was a great move by the writers, I think. And the first episode really, and Scott, you were saying, oh, I don't know if it's like first and second episode. Yeah, you felt like it was like a 2-hour thing. But the first episode was really successful. And it was all about Travis. And then when you come back on the second episode and they kill off Travis, it was like, what the hell did they do? But I think as from a writing standpoint, I think it actually was very well done.
They needed to do it.
Yeah.
They needed to kill off another major character.
We thought
they
needed to do it in the first couple of seasons, but...
No, I know, but
they built him up, like, in a great way. They didn't just build him up to kill him off. They built him up as, like, an actual character, as a shock value thing, and I think they needed something like that.
Agreed.
I think it worked better. I think him dying like that worked better if you were looking at that as 1 2-hour episode.
Yeah, exactly.
I think if we had seen it separately and seen him killed off in the first scene of one episode, you'd be kind of like, oh, fuck. You know.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
That really blows. But it felt like it was more in the middle of a big episode.
Yep. And I think I actually made those comments on Twitter, too, because I was kind of arguing, oh, man, I wish they just played the first episode and left it alone for a week and then went to the next. But then I also said, you know what? The grass is always greener. because if we had seen that second episode just starting out and they killed Travis, we'd been like, what the hell? Yep. Who knows? It might have been more shocking. But no, it played well. I think the problem was that they could have edited it together.
Yeah, I agree. You know?
I think they could have edited the whole thing together a little easier.
Yeah, to make a smoother transition between the whole thing.
Well, I think so, but...
Right. It didn't happen that way.
No, it did not.
No.
Scott, what was your hit?
It was a tough one for me because there was a couple of things. I mean, I love the fact that they introduced the ethnic cleansing and, you know, even experimenting on living people and so forth in there for the horror aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, and the zombie, the dude getting killed by the wall zombie was awesome. But you know what? I think I'm going to go with, Madison becoming the Rick character.
Okay.
I think the show really needs that one central main character. And now we'll finally get it instead of these disparate different groups going around and all. Madison is the leader of their group. And I think that is something the show needs. I think it needs a little bit more central focus.
I think she needs to be a bit stronger, though, or something. I don't know what it is.
She will be.
And not like actually stronger in leading or whatever. I think her character needs to be stronger in the storyline.
I don't know. I mean, I see her as being pretty strong. I don't see her as being very emotional. But one thing at least I'm happy about is we're not going to see Crazy Rick.
Maybe I need to rephrase it. She needs to be a little bit more magnetic to the audience.
That's what I was going
to
say. I think she's... Mm-hmm. She's becoming stronger, but this is what I'm saying with the whole emotional moment at the tree. Like,
right.
That was not emotional to me. Like, I could see that she was in pain. Okay, fine. But there's still no emotion on that woman's face. Like, it looked like she was having GI problems.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not the look of someone who just lost their husband.
She had to poop.
Or throw up. She was definitely throwing up.
Yeah, I don't quite see that, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. She's just not convincing as an emotional person.
I got to add one, and this is because I thought it was my favorite scene of the show. It wasn't necessarily the most my favorite part of the show, but I thought the scene between Strand and the bride's mother, Eileen... was fantastic.
Same. I totally agree with you.
That was the dialogue was excellent in there. I liked the way they reconciled.
Mm-hmm.
Strand's character became much more emotional.
Emotional,
thank you. And, you know, and became so much more likable in that. I thought it was the best scene in the show.
Although, I have to say, I would not want to be in that conversation that entire time. I wouldn't want to be either of those people in that conversation because I didn't know where it was going.
Yeah.
They both
seemed a little sketchy. I mean, I'd be more a little bit more comfortable with Strand.
Mm-hmm.
But Strand did a great job.
That lady seemed crazy.
Yeah. Coleman Domingo did a great job in the way he opened up to her, but you could also see he was watching her out of the corner of his eye.
Right, right.
Because she was still holding that knife. Wasn't until she went over and put it down that he finally started relaxing a little bit.
I would do the same. I'm so glad, too, that they included Strand in the storyline and not just left him, you know, on the wayside like Ophelia. Like, we don't know what's going on with Ophelia yet.
Right.
Or
just have him leaving out the door. They gave him a real emotional scene.
Right. So that was very good.
So, Kim, there must have been a miss.
Well, unfortunately, you guys have just been talking it nonstop. But my miss was the fact that they did a 2-hour episode. But I think you guys... What, was that your miss too?
That was my miss as well.
But I think you guys have kind of talked me out of it, actually. Mm-hmm. Because...
I'm still not talked out of it.
Well, the reason I say that is because when you were talking, Stuart, about the way Travis died and how that would have not meshed well if you had seen that separately.
Yeah, that's Scott brought that up. Yeah, okay. He's saying, yeah, it would, if you saw that at the start of the second episode,
yeah,
that would have been like, why the hell did they wait, make us wait a week to see that happen?
Well, I like cliffhangers like that, but I could totally...
Well, that wasn't really a cliffhanger.
No, they could have done it differently, though. They could have presented it where the chopper gets hit and you don't know what happened.
Yeah.
No, I'm glad they presented it in a way that we know what happened. I mean,
This is what I'm saying. Leaving this...
Oh, okay.
This is what I'm saying.
She's agreeing with you now.
Yes.
She agrees.
That you have changed my mind, that I like the way that it was presented tonight, or last night. So...
Gotcha.
So my miss is no longer a miss.
Well, okay, my miss was that they broke it into two episodes and then played them consecutively. Because I think that if they wrote it as one storyline, a two-hour storyline, it would have been a lot smoother.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have accomplished the same thing. And honestly, it just seems weird that they would have them break it up into... I honestly think that they did that because they have a little less confidence that this thing could carry 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't know. I still think they didn't know if they were going to be doing it as separate episodes or one, two episodes.
That's fine. That's fine. Bunch.
I mean, because...
But they plan, just, I mean, you know, they plan ahead for, you know, The Walking Dead to do that. So,
But you know, Stu, I don't know how much they do really plan ahead, because it takes them forever to actually get the schedule out on when shows are coming out on AMC. You know,
yeah. I mean, well, especially for this show and the Preacher.
You would think, right? You would think that they can sit down and look at their schedule over the next year and plan out when shows are going to be on there, but it doesn't. It's evidently not the case.
Yeah. Well,
you know.
Anyways,
and they're not the only ones. You know, like BBC America, they never say exactly when their shows are going to be coming out until like maybe a month ahead of time or so, or a couple months. I mean,
is that Doctor Who? I don't even watch BBC America.
Yeah, but
okay.
All their shows, they're kind of like that. So, evidently, some of these channels just produce a whole season, and then they decide later on how they're going to present the season.
Well, I honestly think that if they just showed this first one, it would have set it. I don't know. It would work on its own, on its own merit. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the second part was a little deeper into the storyline and could have waited a week.
I mean, I kind of agree with you. If they had put the death scene in the first one, that might have been more impactful.
At the end of the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
And then left the second episode for later.
Even though, I tell you what, the death scene transitioning into the intro was actually really cool. I love that. But but I do think, though, that...
as the second episode of the third season of this show, you have been totally shocked that they would hit you with something like that.
Yeah.
I mean,
but I wouldn't liked it at the beginning of the show.
I don't know. I mean, I would have been like, wow, that was
the first episode end that way than the second episode start that way.
I don't know. It's all speculation as to
we could talk this to death.
Yeah, as to what you would think. I just think the two episode thing was a little weird to me. And then I'm going to throw on top of that.
Oh.
Madison was a little weird.
She's always weird.
Which we have also talked to death. Yes. But anyways.
All right, Scott, what was your miss?
What's your miss?
My miss is I'm kind of getting a little tired of Nick's need to wander. You know, where he's always like, well, you know, when he says to her, he says, well, you don't want to have me around here much, you know, forever.
Oh, yeah. He says, you don't know what I'm going to do next or something.
Yeah.
Like
and
that.
I'm just kind of like, come on, dude. Just let's enough of that garbage.
Mm-hmm.
You certainly hung around the what was the Luciana's home up there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't seem like you had to run off there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just kind of like, you know, all right, dude, we know you like to be independent and stuff like that, but let's, you don't have to do that every time you get somewhere with more than three people.
Yeah.
That to me is, that's, but you know, that's, if that's the worst part of the show, that's not too bad.
I was going to say, that's the only miss you have?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only real miss I had in that.
That's good.
That's pretty good.
Well, I'm glad you're happy.
Well, that's, hey man, that's good for them. And all in all, I think starting out this season, I'm probably as excited as I was when the show first came out, and I hadn't even watched it yet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, like they came back big time, I think, with these first two episodes.
They did.
And the first season was great. The first half of the first season was great. Second season, they almost kind of lost us on this.
Well, we didn't like the, you know, them hanging around the Catalina or whatever it was the whole time. Boat was okay. The boat was fun, but hanging around the Mexican villa got really old.
Yes, and there were a lot of different storylines that they were exploring that just did not work. Well, no.
And I'm concerned that they're going to get bogged down with this ranch too. You know, if they spend the next three episodes just sitting on the ranch dealing with the personality conflicts there, then I'm not going to be real happy with that.
You know, I agree.
Well, I think they are.
And I think they probably will.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be there a while.
Yeah.
All right. We have a ton of listener comments.
Absolutely.
Sean Park. Absolutely intense. I think he got that from you, Scott.
Absolutely.
My jaw is still on the floor.
We Heart TWD said, I kind of feel disappointed. Travis fought his way through the pit only to get shot. I know, I kind of felt the same way.
Yeah, that was kind of a rough way to go. David Valentin, bold, cruel, real. Expecting big things this season. Travis, like Rick, adapted to this world. Unfortunately, luck was not with the English teacher.
Nice. Misty Rain. Ugh, it all went wrong. Great start, but I'm just wondering or hoping Travis will be back, although he seemed broken.
He's definitely
which I think someone fell from the helicopter. Someone responded right splat after that and said, yeah, he's dead.
Dakara said, I loved it. Nice balance of action, emotion, and drama. The gore factor was intense, as was that surprise death. Season 3 looks promising.
Yep. I agree. Fan Mom said, great episode. I particularly enjoyed Strand moonlighting as a doctor, then getting his groove back in the end. I agree. I love that, too. I thought that was great, Fan Mom.
Emmeline Veltkamp said, Madison saying that they'd stay and take the ranch over felt a little close to Rick's speech about taking over Alexandria. Yeah, we talked about that. Mm-hmm. Travis's death hit me a little harder than I thought. He got on my nerves in season 2, but I'll admit to having a few tears in my eyes when it happened.
Paige Vaughn said, I love this premiere. I'm glad Nick and Lucy were reunited with Travis, Madison, and Alicia right away, and that didn't drag out all season. Although I didn't really care for Travis, I was not expecting his death at all. At first, I thought it was a dream, until it wasn't. I'm wondering how long it'll take Ophelia and the Clarks to meet up at the ranch, since the Otto father is who took her at the border. I'm really hoping she's still there. I'm excited to see what happens with the ranch, since I've enjoyed all these actors on other shows. I'm already shipping Alicia and Jake. Ha ha. Also love the cameo of Noel Fisher from Shameless, and his death was pretty satisfying, being pulled into the wall by the Walker. I'm also holding out for Strand to reunite with Daniel on his new quest. Hey. Didn't you say that, Scott?
Mm-hmm.
Not sure how they'd ever find the others in this ranch, but in this universe, it always seems to happen.
Hey, by the way, I don't know if you guys know it. You know, you're talking about people on other shows and so forth. Maybe it's one of your news items I'm stealing, Kim, but Cliff Curtis.
Ah!
Did I steal that from you?
Don't say it.
All right, I'll let Kim spring it.
All right, so we do have
Kim gets a golden star for every one she gets right, so it's
oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, if you take it from her, she does not get that golden star.
Yes. Oh, I need to let me go back to what I was saying then. We got news, Kim.
We have news. Dave Erickson was interviewed by TV Line. Dave Erickson is the executive producer of the show. Concerning Travis's death, and he said, following Chris's death, I think his father's death was inevitable. Travis's whole trajectory at this point was to do for his surrogate son what he had failed to do for his biological one. Coming off of Chris's death, Travis had failed. He had broken his promise to Liza. He had not protected their boy. So for him, it becomes very much a question of atonement and redemption. And the only way to do this is to return Nick to Madison, which he does. So it sounds like they had had this plan for quite a bit. And from what Dave Erickson was saying, that they actually were going to do it later in the season. But they thought that his time had come.
That's good. I mean, they didn't drag it out. That's good.
But what do you think about the idea of this being like atonement for Chris's death and not being able to fulfill Liza's wish?
No, I just think of it as an unfortunate. I think it was just an unfortunate death. I mean, I think it was an unfortunate death. I didn't really think of it in that context at all.
I didn't either.
He sounded like he was trying to come up with an excuse for why they killed him off.
Yeah.
Like, they said that, okay, with Chris gone, that he had filled his purpose because he was so attached to Chris as his son. It was like, well, not really, because he still cared about all the other people.
Right.
I think the showrunner thinks that we were more emotionally involved with the fact that Travis told his ex that he was going to take care of Chris, when, in fact, we were all really happy when Chris got wiped out.
Seriously.
Well, that, or there seems some kind of disconnect as to, from a writing standpoint, as to how the characters interact with each other and how people actually interact with each other. You know, like, just because Chris is gone, it does not mean that Travis would not care for all the other people that he's traveling with. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me that he said that on The Talking Dead. Right. And I was like, really? The point of him being alive was gone? And like, I don't understand that.
Of all people, Travis is the one who cares about everyone.
Yeah, he cares. Exactly.
He is the moral compass. He was which is why he died.
He was right, exactly. That would be more like an excuse, like, well, you know, and that's what they keep saying on these shows, is like, oh, he's the moral compass, so he had to die. It's like, so, I mean,
it was a tragic death, a sad
statement to make, that anybody who has any type of moral values or cares about other people, they die. They just die. Well, you know.
Well, they do.
I know.
They do. It's because you get attached to them. They want to pull your heartstrings.
Yeah. Right.
You're not going to get attached to a character that doesn't seem like someone you want to be.
Right.
Okay, so that goes to the argument Kim and I were having the other day. I was like, why the hell do they then keep Rick and Daryl and
Michonne?
Michonne and some of the other characters around?
Because people love them.
Yeah, but they don't morally, you're saying, okay, they have no moral compass at all.
Oh, right. Yeah, they don't.
But they have some moral compass,
but it has been demonstrated to be bent at times.
Faulty.
Whereas a character like Glenn held to his moral compass.
Yes.
He never bent to it. Mm-hmm. And that's why he's a truly tragic character.
Right.
Travis was the same way. Travis never bent to his character. I mean, even when Nick went out and found him, he told him, you know, you didn't find us. Don't tell anybody you found us.
So do you think they put all these characters, like, they have, like, okay, morality line.
Yeah.
Like, and on just, like, a horizontal line.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put the characters there, and then they say, okay, when they start getting too close to that, they're out. They're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I think they do foster, in these shows, it's a formula, you know, they foster a truly virtuous character, in knowing that eventually they'll use that to you know, get the heartstrings going.
If they go below the horizon, then they're out.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's time to toast them.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, it was announced in early May that Cliff Curtis is going to be starring in several new movies that are coming up.
Maori.
Not quite.
He has been cast in the new James Cameron Avatar movies.
Oh, really?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
As Tonawari, the leader of the reef people clan, Metkaina, which will all be shot in New Zealand.
Oh, well, that's convenient.
Yes.
It's very convenient.
So when...
That's where he herds sheep.
When Robert Kirkman was asked, did any of that factor into the fact that he got killed off in this episode, he's like, it all factors in. So,
Jesus Christ.
If you don't have an actor around,
that's a problem.
To be on the show, that's going to be a problem.
That is a huge problem.
Yeah.
Which goes back to the showrunner saying, we were going to kill him off earlier, but you know, he was going to leave.
Exactly. we wanted to kill him off mid-season, but then we realized he wasn't going to be here.
Yeah, he found another gig, and we're like, you know.
He called us and said, you get one episode.
Having a big cardboard cutout of him wasn't going to work.
No. We tried dressing up some other characters. No, it didn't work. And Chris never looked like him, so we couldn't use him.
Exactly. So Robert Kirkman was interviewed by Yahoo TV about the upcoming season for Fear the Walking Dead. And the interviewer said that the new season seemed to start off with a great pace and lots of action and is part horror story, which I'm only assuming they could be referring to the fact that Willie got pulled through the wall. And Kirkman said, we really wanted to hit the ground running and get into it. I feel like we did it the same way with The Walking Dead when it hit its stride with season 3. I think Fear the Walking Dead is hitting its stride now with season 3. And there's nothing better than having a really intense start to a season to kind of kick things off and get the audience really revved up for what's coming.
And then he followed that by saying, wait, what show are we talking about? What are they doing?
I know. Which one of my mini shows?
Exactly. Oh, wait a minute. What interview is this?
Yeah. So... It kind of makes me wonder, like, do they have a plan? Have they had a plan this whole time to, like, piss us all off at the beginning and now rope us all in?
No, hell no. No, come on.
No.
Don't give them that.
No. But it was a really good episode. Like, comparing this premiere to every single other episode of Fear, this
honestly,
is, like, tops.
I think that they gave, like, a big gift to the writers who are dealing with this and or producers.
Yeah.
And were like, run with it. And then the first couple seasons, probably the first season, they had a little bit more influence. The second season, they probably
backed off
a little bit more.
And well, then yeah, the, but I'll tell you what.
The third season, they're probably like, dude, if this thing's going to survive, we better step back in and say some shit. Because
I'll tell you what, though. I mean, you guys may have forgotten, but that first episode of season 2 was fantastic. Remember where they were escaping the bombing of L.A.?
Not really.
To get to the boat? I thought that was a great episode.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
but it wasn't like this. I didn't get that same feeling.
Not necessarily writing-wise, though.
The first episode of season 1, maybe. The very first episode, I really loved.
Okay, so when you were talking about, okay, they're on the coast, they're already going to get on the boat. We knew that from season 1, right?
We knew there would be a boat involved.
There was a boat that they saw out in the harbor or whatever. So they're trying to get... Okay, but that was more of a cinematography, like,
movie. It was exciting.
Yeah, movie action kind of... That was like, okay, big money budget, let's make this first episode freaking sweet kind of thing. And then everything else was kind of crappy. Not crappy, but it was just like, I'm on a boat.
I'm just saying, that season started off with a bang.
We did.
Because
they
puttered out pretty fast.
Shot their wad at the start.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, okay, season 2. And I think they probably did. They probably put a ton of money into making the first one really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think, I am hoping that they'll continue what they're doing right now into season 3. That's all I'm going to say. I mean, yeah, I hope they can... They can continue going this route because there seems to be a lot more people that are excited about it now than the people when season 2 came out.
Yes.
Right.
On social media, at least. I'm seeing a lot more people that are like buzzing about this and a lot more than they were buzzing about the end of The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I think they were just buzzing about us, Stuart, but that's okay.
Well, there could be that too.
There was one more thing that Kirkman said in that interview that really struck me, and that was when the interviewer asked him about the focus of Fear the Walking Dead versus The Walking Dead. And he said the focus for both of them is family, but in The Walking Dead, it's always about how the family has been torn apart. And just about everyone you meet in The Walking Dead is mourning somebody, and somebody from their past or their past in general, or they've lost everyone that they've ever loved. But in Fear the Walking Dead, since it's still so new in the storyline, they're all about keeping their families together.
Right.
And even like when you go to the ranch and see the Ottos, they're still about keeping their family together. And as of yet, we don't know anybody that they've lost except for the goddaughter, who we actually saw Lim lose. But and then the whole Madison and Travis and keeping all the kids together and that sort of thing. It's a totally different focus for this show. And he was talking about how it's so different with Fear the Walking Dead, because you see from the very beginning, you see how they act or how they react to the apocalypse happening. And you see them make their very first kill, and you see it happening in real time. Whereas with The Walking Dead, it's always in the past. You don't, the only person you saw, right, the only person you saw was Rick, and everybody else is in flashback or just storytelling. And so you don't get that personal connection with the people of The Walking Dead.
Can I just point out that I think it's fucked up that Nick and Alicia really could care less that Travis died?
I don't know. I thought Alicia was pretty shook up about it.
Yeah, she was. She had to tell her mom. Nick could
care
less.
She was, broke down. She was shook up because she had to tell her mom. That was it. Like, the fact that he actually died didn't seem to really affect either of them.
Well, I mean, you got a point there.
I mean, I don't know. I don't agree. I thought it affected Alicia a lot.
Okay. Alicia, yes, but Nick, probably not.
Nick, not
no,
at all.
No, and I don't think Nick was that close to Travis anyway. I don't think he ever was.
But, I mean, these are the people that you're stuck with in the apocalypse. I mean, okay, well, maybe he hasn't been stuck with Travis quite so much, because Nick's been off on his own.
Right.
But, I mean, it just seems weird to me that that there doesn't seem to be some camaraderie like... Mom, you okay? Or mom, go deal with your thing because Travis died. I'm gonna go grab a hot dog.
Well, I think a lot of Nick's focus was his girlfriend.
Yeah, yes. No, that's true. That's very true. In that scene, for sure, his girlfriend's still alive.
We'll see how that plays out. Yep. Is that all the news, Kimmy?
That's it.
Next time on Fear the Walking Dead, that'll be season 3, episode 3, Teotwaki.
I was wondering if you'd be able to pronounce that.
Teotwaki.
Teotwaki. Is that what you want to say?
Yep.
Okay. Whatever. Very Indian name sounding. It's written by Ryan Scott. Alicia and Nick fall in with new crowds. Madison discovers Otto's past mimics her own. So maybe we'll finally get some background on Madison's past that we haven't seen.
I think we're supposed to, because Kirkman has alluded to that as well for season 3.
Mm-hmm.
Kirkman's saying a lot nowadays about Fear the Walking Dead, which is what I think you were saying, Stuart.
Yeah, right.
That he's coming out a lot about it.
Yeah, he's
stepping in.
He's trying to get involved with it to make sure that it survives.
Yeah.
One thing. Now, where was Madison supposed to be from originally? She has a southern accent.
She's from Alabama in real life, I think.
Yeah, but was she supposed to be like Midwest or something like that?
I don't know if we ever established that.
No, I think she's supposed to be from the South.
Okay.
Teotwaki, by the way, is an acronym which means the end of the world as we know it.
Oh.
Well, so it's not even a real
pleasant. Word. That's a pleasant thought.
Yeah.
Oh.
So what does that mean?
So Kirkman made that up? Damn you, Kirkman. end of the world. Well, I don't know.
Well, the end of the world as you know it.
We just hit that new frontier. Was it like an REM thing?
Could be.
Well, they don't have Travis anymore, so they don't have that glue that kind of holds Madison together. Like, she has no one to turn to now except for her own kids, who, you know, like, there's a different relationship between a mom and her kids and a mom and her husband. Mm. You can't be as honest.
I would hope so.
Well, you know what I mean. But you can't be as honest with your kids as you would, per se, your husband sometimes. So she has, it's like.
What was that look?
So it's like she has no barriers anymore. Like it's on. Mm. And she's going to do whatever she needs to do to take care of business.
Well, end of the world, though. I mean, they're just beginning a new relationship in this new family that they're having to deal with.
It's the end of the world as they know it. Yeah. So that's what we just got to figure out what that means.
So it doesn't bode well. Let me just put it that way. It doesn't seem like it would bode well for them.
It's the apocalypse. And what are you expecting?
It doesn't seem to be boding well for Strand, who I think was being dangled over
a
railing.
Right.
Yes.
Poor Strand.
So.
Yeah, I wonder what that's about.
Evidently, he's not going to be hanging on to that nice jag very long.
That's what I was going to say. They probably stole that piece of goodness.
Shame. Yeah, and nice car. Actually, on the Fear the Walking Dead AMC website, there is a picture of him standing next to a guy with a very bad stink face.
Uh-oh. Ooh.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's go find it. It is a stink face, for sure.
I don't want to know.
All right, any other points you want to make about this episode?
Not after Stinkface.
Nope.
No, I think we're good. Well, thanks everyone for joining us again for another year of the Fear Me podcast. And let me just point out that this is our third anniversary.
Oh, really?
It is.
No way.
We started 3 years ago.
Wow. That's true.
With the premiere of Fear.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So happy birthday to us.
How about that?
So, if you want to download our episodes, you can find us at your favorite podcasting site. You can also find us on Twitter at FearMePod, on Facebook at Facebook.com/FearMePodcast, and on the web at FearMePodcast.com, and you can email us at FearMePodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.
Good night.
See ya. And we're off.